This morning we continue our series. We've been looking at the responsibilities of church membership, and I've formulated them into this small document under the heading, Church, Not a Place to Go, but a Community in Which to Grow. We've looked at various of the responsibilities, and this morning I want us to come back to what is actually number 2 on the leaflet. I've put it this far into the series because, unlike the rest of the series, it is more to do with our personal responsibilities than to do with our corporate responsibilities, our joining together, our sharing in the work of God. And the second responsibility of church membership is regular personal prayer and Bible study. And in this section, we are given 2 passages of Scripture. The first one we read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'll just remind you of those words. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The second verse refers to prayer. And it's Philippians 4 and verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, as I said, this takes us outside of the community because essentially it deals with personal discipline and the way we grow as individual Christians. Let's put this into its context. We live in a day when Christians, particularly new Christians, are told, you must read the Bible and pray every day. Now, before I continue, I believe that that is a good discipline. It's a good practice to turn to our Bible. Ian didn't know what I was going to speak on this morning, so it was terrific that he was able to speak to the children in the way that he did, because it fits in completely with the message that I have. While it's a good discipline, it can also become a horrible burden. And when we get behind, we feel as though we've committed the cardinal sin. Oh, I missed my readings. And if we have a tender conscience, we might even think, it's somehow going to change our relationship with God. We might even be cast out of heaven or the presence of God. We have these strong convictions about Bible reading. But I want to say that rarely, if ever, has such a strong practice, or you might even say a strong theology, been developed on such sparse Bible verses. There are very few passages of Scripture that you can actually used to justify the teaching that we must read the Bible every day and we must pray. Now, the 2 texts that we read, 2 Timothy 3 and Philippians 4, they remind us of the value of Scripture and the importance of prayer. But neither of them spell out that we should be praying and reading our Bible. Ian did a brilliant introduction emphasizing the benefits of the technology that we have today and the various forms that we have of the Bible. In the Reformation, the teaching was able to go forward because of the discovery of the printing press. And in the 21st century, technology allows us not only to have our Bibles, but many, many commentaries on the Bible tucked away either in our pockets or in our handbags. And we can have access to many and varied Bible reading schemes. But prior to the Reformation and the development of printing in the 16th century, the only Bibles that were available were either written on parchments or on huge handwritten books. They were so expensive. Ian's family Bible, you took it back with you, yes, down there. That would be expensive, even by today's standards. But it would have been out of the question for every member of a family to have a Bible. It would have been out of the question for most families to have a Bible. And the facts are, friends, even if they'd had a Bible, not all of them would have been able to read it. In 1880, the Education Act was passed in this country, emphasising the need for compulsory education, and the 1944 Education Act raised the school leaving age to 15. Now, we know it's gone up since that. But prior to these times, very few people could read. That means that for 1900 years, Christians were apparently failing in a spiritual responsibility. How could they grow? They couldn't have their quiet times. Well, I believe that they did grow because they took a different approach to the scriptures from the ones that we take today. And in fact, if we take this responsibility, personal devotions, as a part of the community, we will understand that daily devotions could actually grow from the Sunday services and from the preaching of the word. I cannot tell you this morning to go out and buy a copy of Our Daily Bread or Every Day with Jesus or Robert Murray McShane's Bible reading calendar. Now, all of these things are excellent, and I would recommend them to you, but I've got no authority to say you must do these things. But what I do say to you this morning is that each of us needs to follow the principles that Paul writes about in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says to Timothy in 2 Timothy verse 15, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise through wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And from this passage, I want to give you three principles that will guide your meditation and your personal devotions. Paul talks here about being acquainted with the Bible. Three points to give you the priorities for Bible reading, Bible learning, and prayer. First of all, become acquainted with the Bible. Get to know the contents of the Bible. Secondly, pray regularly. Thirdly, meditate every day. Now, let's look at these three principles which fit into my first main heading of biblical priorities. Get to know the Bible. This word acquainted that Paul uses here actually means to know or to remember, to appreciate. Properly, it means to see something with the physical eyes that will then have a spiritual effect. And Paul talks about that spiritual effect. He wants people to understand the Bible, not that they might be able to pass scripture exams or theological exams, but, as he says here in this verse 15, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. The Bible has been given to us so that we might learn and know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us think that the passages of the Bible that deal particularly with the Lord Jesus Christ are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But friends, the whole of the Bible prepare us for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great theme of Scripture. Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said this on the Damascus Road. He spoke to those disciples and he showed them that from Moses and throughout the whole of the Old Testament, he was there in picture form, in metaphors, in examples. Why? Because of the passage that Ian shared with the children this morning, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life through his name. My question this morning is, do you know the Bible well enough to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You might know him this time of year as the babe of Bethlehem. At Easter, you might know him as the man who died on the cross. But I want to ask you this morning, do you know him as the Christ, the one that God sent? Christ is not a name, it is a title. He is the one appointed by God to do what? To die in our place. Do you know that Jesus died on Calvary, not as an example, not to die for other people's sins, but to die for the sins of everyone who will believe in him? Have you believed this morning? Or is it just a theory? Yes, you can explain that Jesus died there on behalf of the church. That's a glorious truth, and I delight to preach it. But the whole purpose of the Bible is to explain to us that from the beginning of the world, God has been preparing to send Jesus in order that we might understand that he has died to save all who will believe. Friends, are you acquainted with that this morning? Is it something that you know with your mind, but which affects your heart? There are people, and I'm acquainted with them. I know their names. I might even know where they live. But I am not intimately involved with them in the same way that I might be with my family. And this morning, friends, I want to ask you, are you, as Paul writes here, acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, you know about him because of the Scriptures, but you also know about him because he lives within your hearts. Friends, if you are not acquainted with Christ this morning, the greatest need of your life is not to read the Bible more. It is not to hear preaching more, but the greatest need is that you might obey the Bible, that you might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes to Timothy, and he wants him to be acquainted with the Scriptures in order that he might be saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, the Bible is not only for the unconverted. The Bible is for the converted, for the believer. Notice what it says in verse 17, that the man of God, the person who believes in God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. We as Christians need the Bible because it teaches us how to live. It teaches us how we are to respond to God. It shows us the things that we are to put to death in our lives. Sin, things that offend God. It shows us the things that we are to develop and to nurture, things that we describe as the fruit of the Spirit. Paul says here, be acquainted with the Bible. And all of us should be acquainted with the Bible. And the primary place for doing that is not so much in our personal Bible reading, but here in the church. For 1900 years, people came to church, the pastor, the preacher, preached the Word of God, and they took those verses home with them, and day after day, they would think over them, because they did not have the Bible. But the proof text that is to deal with prayer says to us that we are in everything to pray. And Paul says, pray without ceasing. The Lord Jesus Christ says that people ought always to pray and not to lose hearts. We're to be acquainted with the Bible. It is to be part of our life day by day. But we're to pray each day as well. I want to ask friends, are we serious about prayer? Oh yes, Bernard, I'm very serious. But let me ask then, do we believe what we sing in the well-known hymn? Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed. The motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the way, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself hast trod. Lord, teach us how to pray. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. Friends, as I look out over the congregation, I realize that there are some of you who suffer with asthma. We know other people who have other breathing disorders. When you see somebody in an asthma attack, they're not saying, oh, I'm having an asthma attack, I need to breathe more fully. No, they're loosening their clothes around their neck, they're getting to a window or to a door. They cannot fill their lungs full enough with the vital breath. They are desperate for air. How many of us can say that that is our approach to prayer? Day by day, in the prayer meeting, are we desperate for God? Are we desperate to take hold of Him? And I don't mean that in a legalistic way. In a way, let me use a romantic illustration. When we love somebody and we are away from them, then we want to be back with them. I remember in those days that we call courting, Linda and I had to be apart in college holidays. She was in Kent, I was in Pembrokeshire. When we came together, there was an excitement. We wanted to see each other. Now, many people say, oh yeah, but that changes over the years. And it does. I can remember going away to conferences, and there was a part of me was glad to have a good night's sleep because Linda was looking after the kids and things like that. But I've just been in Bala this week. And I tell you, I was glad to get home. I was glad to get back to Linda because of the relationship. And friends, that is the idea behind prayer. It's not going through the ritual. It's not getting out your prayer diary. I believe you should be disciplined in prayer. You should be praying systematically through things. But it is that relationship with God. Do you want to be with Him? Do you want to thank Him and to enjoy His presence? It is said of Wesley, with all his travelling, that he would stop every hour to spend 5 minutes in prayer, over and above the disciplined times of prayer at other times of the day. Friends, are we so in love with God that we want to adore him? Are we so aware of his holiness that we confess our sins before him? Are we so grateful that we thank him? Do we realize our position in the family of God so that we would supplicate, so that we would pray for others? I've just given you an acrostic based on Acts. Prayer should be adoration. It should be confession. It should be thanks. It should be supplication. Friends, those of us with unconverted relatives, are we so passionate that we weep before God that they might be saved? This is what it is meant when we talk about prayer. Our relationship with God and our concern for others. In the Old Testament, in that passage that I read from Deuteronomy, it was the kings who were to have their own copy of the Bible. And I'll look at that a little bit more fully. But one of the things that they were to do, they were to store it in their heart and they were to meditate upon it. When Joshua took over after Moses, he was given this responsibility. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Friends, if you were disciplined in your daily Bible reading and prayer, you might be like this. Now, where's my Bible? Where's my study notes? Okay, open the study notes. Okay, that's the passage. Let's read the passage. Let's read the notes. Now, who have I got to pray for in my daily prayers? Right, I've done what's required of me, and that's it. Friends, that is not it. It is this taking hold of the Word of God. What does this passage teach me about God? How do I respond to God? What does it teach me about myself? How am I to respond in that? What are the lessons that I have to learn? We think of meditation as something that the Beatles did back in the 60s because they got caught up in Eastern religions. No, friends, meditation is the disciplining of the mind that we might focus upon our God. So when we think of this responsibility within the community of the church, what are we to do? Well, we're to get acquainted with the scriptures. We're to pray over the scriptures. We are to meditate on the scriptures so that we might be built up. Let me give you some guidelines from that passage that we read in Deuteronomy 17. And it might be useful for you to have that open in front of you. It's responsibilities given to the kings. Now you might say, Bernard, but we're not kings. No, but the New Testament does describe Christians as a royal priesthood, a chosen race. And in Revelation, we are told that God has made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. And there's a way in which we are co-heirs with Christ. Let us just very quickly look at what is required here. Look at verse 18. And it says, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law. So if we are Christians, if we are sharers in our inheritance in Christ, we are like kings or queens. We are to warn, make a copy of the scriptures. Well, we don't have to write out the scriptures, but I want to encourage each one of us to have at least one copy of the Bible in the different mediums that Ian explained to us this morning. Because there's no reason why any of us should not have a copy of the Bible. And that Bible that he's got on his phone, it's a free download, so you don't need to pay for it. Secondly, in verse 19, it shall be with him. Many Christians, they've got a Bible, but it's hidden away on a shelf somewhere. It's not accessible. It's collecting dust somewhere. No, it should be with us. It should be a part of our lives. He shall read it all the days of his life. Friends, there is no law that says every Christian has to read the Bible. But because we have the privilege of education, let's use that privilege. Let's read it. Let's get to know it. Why? Well, the verses go on to say that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Tim Keller, in one of his books, parallels the Old Testament fear of the Lord with the New Testament principle of walking in the Spirit. Do you want to walk in the Spirit? Do you want to know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Then read the Word. Be obedient to it so that you might keep all the words of this law and the statutes. We're afraid of legalism, but the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the Psalms speak to the young man, and they ask the question in Psalm 119, how can a young man, young woman, an old man, an old woman, keep his or her way pure? By guarding it according to your words. And verse 11 of Psalm 119 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Do we memorize scripture? Do we encourage our children to memorize scripture? Do we apply it in our hearts? And then the king in Deuteronomy 17 is responsible for doing the word of God, showing that we love God. And I think verse 20 is very important, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers. Friends, when we read the scriptures, when we are face to face with God, it humbles us and it keeps us looking to our God. May each of us remain faithful so that we might persevere, because that's how the verse ends, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. Many people fall away in the Christian life, and I believe it is because they don't have this vertical relationship with God, and they don't have the horizontal relationship with other people. We are to persevere. Now, I want to say one last thing about Timothy. So this takes us back to 2 Timothy 3. And I want to mention this with reference to priorities in the family. Because Paul writes, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Earlier in this letter, Paul had referred to Timothy's family. In chapter 1 and verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Friends, no child can inherit his parents' religion or faith, but we can be a good example to our children. We can be people of the Word. We can be people of prayer. Our children can see that as we make decisions in our lives, we do it because we have meditated on the Word of God. There is a terrific example here. Do you want your children to come to faith? Well, be a godly mother. Be a godly father. Are you concerned for your grandchildren? Again, be a godly grandfather. Be a godly grandmother. Timothy did not become a Christian because he was born in a Christian home. But I believe that the fact that he was acquainted with the Scriptures from the day of his birth meant that he was immersed in God. And that is what we need. We need families that are immersed in the Word of God and that grow up into Him. Make church attendance so that you might hear the preaching of the Word of God. Make the reading of Scriptures. Make praying, make meditating a part of your life so that within the family, your children will grow up in an atmosphere of faith and that, God willing, they too would come to faith. Children and young people here this morning, you need the faith that you see in the believers around you. You need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who are older and have never come to faith in Christ, you need this as well, because it is the only means of salvation. May God help each of us to love and to trust Him. Amen.